This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
I began interviewing law enforcement and ranchers back in 1979 about the worldwide animal mutilation mystery. Often I would hear about bright aerial lights that would pace moving cars and trucks, stopping when the driver stopped, moving when the driver moved, turning when the driver turned, like cat and mouse games, many said. Recently, I received another report about a large bright light that played cat and mouse with a Canadian driver. That encounter was soon followed by close-up communication with what the man describes as a, quote, powerful superior being, unquote. The date was December 1979, right before Christmas. The location was the Battle River Valley, about 20 miles north of Coronation, Alberta, Canada. The time was around 11 p.m. Lee Hudson was 24 years old then, and a licensed mechanic. He was getting off work late and headed for his parents' farm outside Coronation. As he drove over Betson's Hill, he noticed a bright, amber-colored glare down in the Battle River. Lee could not see what was causing the yellow-orange light, so he stopped his car on top of a hill to get a better look.
I stepped out of the car, and I know when I first saw that, my first thought was it must be some kind of bushfire. There must be a fire going on down there. And it just didn't quite add up because there was snow on the ground. It's winter time, and why should there be a bushfire in the middle of winter? Just as soon as I stepped out of the car and I was standing still, I could see the light was moving. It was moving eastward and westward, up first to and then fro up and down the river valley. Only there's no road running east and west along the river. So I just felt this kind of twinge, like of all the things I've ever seen in my life, I've never seen anything I couldn't explain. But this very bright glare moving in places where there were no roads. So I got back in the car. I didn't really feel fear at this point, but I was wondering what on earth could that be. So I thought, well, I'll get moving again here. So I got in the car, went on down through the coulee, and then I swung east at the intersection. I looked over to the north toward the river, and I saw it like this thing rose up out of the river bottom, and just within an instant, like about 1 second, it was beside my car, a distance of 3 miles. This thing hugged the tree line as it came toward me. It just curved in and out along the tree line. The speed this thing was moving, I do believe that any man-made device changing direction at that velocity, the inertia would tear it apart. Mm-hmm. Right there, I immediately knew that this is nothing like I've ever seen. And then it comes up right beside my car, like just hanging off in the field a little ways off, like maybe 50 feet away from the car. It was above the ground at this point. I was still moving. The whole area was lit up like daylight in the middle of the night. And I could have turned my lights off and driven without lights if I'd wanted to. It was just lit up everywhere. So my first instinct was to accelerate and get away. I had this Coronet Super B with a lot of power. And I took it right up quite fast, about 100 miles an hour on the gravel road. This thing just hung right with me. I don't really know why I thought I could outrun it, but it's just an instinctive thing. But I could see that I wasn't going to outrun it. Fear started to set in a little bit, so I put the car right down as fast as she'd go, and I was right up around 130 miles an hour. I remember I was having trouble controlling the car. But this thing was just right there, right out my side window. So bright. To look at it head on was like trying to look at a welding arc. I mean, it was so bright. I couldn't really distinguish depth because of its brightness. It gave off so much light. I couldn't distinguish depth, but I could definitely tell that it was more or less circular, like as big as a two-story house, maybe 70 feet across in diameter. I carried on for 4 miles east of there, of the intersection. Then you come to a curve in the road that swings north toward my dad's farm. I slowed down enough to negotiate that curve. I guess I felt that this thing would turn with me because it was obviously following me, and I expected it to turn north too, I guess. Wrong, it didn't swing north. When I started coming around north, around the curve, this thing just keeps on going straight across right in front of me. I thought I was going to hit it, or it was going to hit me. I remember my windshield just absolutely blotted out with light. When this thing crossed in front of my car, you could see nothing. It was just a blinding light glared through the windshield, and I slammed on the brakes, of course, to try to not hit it. Somehow it did get past me without hitting me. That was on its closest approach when it passed in front of my car. And I remember I could definitely hear this sound associated with it, which was not like any sound you'd hear from any man-made machine. The sound I could hear when it crossed in front of my car was a fizzy, staticky kind of sound, like a comb running through dry hair or a cold can of Coke that you just cracked open and put it up to your ear. That's the sound it made. It was an electrically staticky sound. When I came to a stop, this thing passed on in front of me, and then it stopped in the field just off to my right. Now it's on the east side of my car and slightly forward of the car. It was like maybe a couple hundred feet away from me, still standing up above the ground, about maybe 20 feet above ground level. It was at that point I remember just staring at the thing, and I don't really remember how long I looked at it. I thought I looked at it for maybe 10 or 15 seconds. I was just stunned. I was amazed. This thing was nothing like I have ever seen. It defied gravity, just stood there in the air. It just chased me for 4 miles. So it's like I go, it goes. I stop, it stops. So I'm sitting there looking at it. I remember thinking, it's like some kind of a little chase game going on here. It's like it's waiting for me to get going again so that it can chase me some more. I got this definite feeling like cat and mouse. So I started the car back up. I swung it in reverse. I didn't want to go forward because I would have had to get closer to the thing. To go home, I had to keep going north. I didn't want to. So I started the car up, threw it in reverse, and swung around in the middle of the road backwards and headed back around the curve that I had just come around. And I went back the direction I had come from. I got around the curve. Tom Black's place is just another quarter of a mile back from where I came. So I didn't look behind me. I just headed for Tom Black's approach. I remember that when I started to turn into his approach, I slowed down. I looked back over my shoulder at that point. I got brave enough again to look behind me once I was heading into Tom's. I saw the thing lift up in 1 to 2 seconds. I saw this thing negotiate the curvature of the earth, probably a distance of about 50 miles to the horizon. It went from the size of a huge house to a pinpoint of light. And I could definitely see it curve downwards as it went out of sight. In that much time, this thing could accelerate without being torn apart and disappear down to a pinpoint of light in 1 to 2 seconds. Now, anything man-made, I can tell you, would be torn apart. I was still pretty scared, so I drove on into Tom's. I went up and beat on his door. And Tom got out of bed. He come out, turned on the porch light, and he looked out and he said, "Lee, what's happening?" So I told him this big bright light was chasing me. Like, I knew Tom well, he was our neighbor. But Tom was very tired, and I could see that there was no point carrying this any farther, so we said goodnight. It felt better after I had talked to another human being, you know. So I thought, well, I'll go on home. Maybe it won't come back, you know.
And you were 24 then, right?
That's right.
That sort of sets the stage for a remarkable event that takes place later.
Yeah. The next weekend, I was off work. I was just actually laying on the couch, resting. My mom and dad had gone to town to shop. I wasn't reading. I wasn't watching TV. I just laid down to just rest. I wasn't asleep or anything. Closed my eyes, and all of a sudden, at that instant, something came in the room. Something entered my mom's living room. Some kind of an entity. I wasn't allowed to look at it. I was immediately made aware that that this being was a powerful being, like an omnipotent kind of being. Like I was instantly aware of its superiority to me. It made you aware that it was far superior to you.
And Lee, why is it that you felt like you couldn't look at it? Did you have telepathic thoughts in your mind, or what happened?
Yes, I did. This thing immediately began to speak to me, but not in words, just into my mind. It projected its thoughts into my mind. Unmistakable. It was clear, as crystal clear as you could imagine, as far as communication went between me and this being. Yes, I was paralyzed. I became instantly paralyzed when this thing entered the room. I couldn't move. I couldn't open my eyes. Wild horses wouldn't have opened my eyes. And this thing just exerted such a force over you, like an overpowering, overwhelming force. That's all I can describe it as. And yet, I knew in my mind, as clear as a bell, where it stood. I could tell exactly where it was standing, about a foot away from me. It was frightening, I can tell you. I've never had an experience like this, either before or since. It just was something that I'll never forget. It stood there, it immediately started communicating to me, issuing orders at me, military style, one after another, just barking orders at me, military style, extremely powerful orders. They were impossible to disregard. You could not disregard these orders. You weren't allowed to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any content?
Yes, I do. As far as the orders themselves, no. It's strange because I can remember that there were these orders. They were unmistakable. I've never forgotten how it barked these orders at me, and I had to say, yes, I understand, absolutely. Yes, I understand perfectly. Yes, absolutely. This went on and on for like 15 minutes or so. And I remember just answering each order. Yes, I understand. Absolutely. That's how it was like that.
Mm-hmm. But you don't remember any detail of the content of the orders?
Not one tiny shred. When this thing finally released me, when it let me go, it disappeared. It was gone as quick as it came. I was released. I got up. I ran out of the house to get some air. And I stood outside there. And I remember immediately, as soon as I got out on the steps, I was thinking, now, what were the orders? What were the orders? I couldn't remember anything of the actual orders. And that is something that has bothered me ever since. What were the orders? I have wondered, have I carried out these orders subconsciously? Have I defied these orders? Either one is probably equally undesirable. You know, I don't know whether I've done these orders or defied them. But I do know that for some reason it chose to black my mind out as far as what the orders were. It didn't black out that I had been issued orders. I definitely knew I had been issued orders.
And this was about 30 years ago.
Yes, it's going on 30 years.
And in those 30 years, since that traumatic event, has anything else happened that would fall into the category of other than human intelligence in your life?
Later on that day, I noticed this a sore spot on the side of my forehead, above my temple and forward and up a bit. I didn't actually notice it until I touched it. And I noticed this little sore area. It was on the side of my head that was exposed when this thing was visiting me.
Mm-hmm.
It was tender there, but there was no bleeding or anything. The skin wasn't broken or nothing. And in the months following that, this thing developed in that tender spot, developed into this bony lump on the side of my forehead. And it's been there ever since. I don't feel it. It doesn't hurt it or anything, but it's just there.
Do you associate it with a monitoring by this being?
I hope not. I mean, I have wondered, is this thing tracking me? Is it manipulating me? I don't know. I've wondered about it. I have a daughter that's a registered nurse. This thing gives her the heebie-jeebies.
Lee, have you ever had it x-rayed?
No, I haven't. I was at a doctor once that said to me, he said, where'd you get that knot? And I didn't really want to go through it, so I just said, oh, I don't know. And he said, well, if you want, I'll remove it. I'll get it removed if you'd like me to. I guess I was afraid to do that, and I've never done that.
Would it be fair to say that in your own mind, even that week after the cat and mouse game with the light, that this powerful non-seen entity next to you on the sofa, that you would link that to whatever was in that light that played cat and mouse with you the week before?
I definitely do. I link the two as the same event, just days apart. But in my mind, they are definitely associated events. You know, I don't hallucinate. I've never had strange things happen before or since. Before this event happened, I wasn't really a scientific kind of guy. I was mechanical, yes, but I wasn't really into physics or science. Since that event, I've had many ideas come to me, most of them that I'm not even looking for. And quite often it's in my sleep. And I'll wake up with an idea about different things regarding higher level mechanics, physics.
And do you associate that possibly with whatever the object is that's in your forehead?
Yes, I do. I associate it with that and or with the visitation and the orders. I've wondered if there might be anything to do with those orders. It may be that these beings had something to do with our being here in the first place, which may be their interest in us. They may be sort of watching us from time to time. They might be interacting with us. They may be influencing us a bit here and there.
Why do you think that you were played cat and mouse with?
It actually crossed my mind that, do you suppose that these beings have a bit of an entertainment side to them? Maybe maybe they actually were entertaining themselves, like going, look at this Earth guy. Let's just play with this guy a bit and see how he reacts, you know? Do you think that's possible? It's crossed my mind. If they might have just been literally playing cat and mouse with me.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. But what we humans today in 2007, who are aware that we are not the only life form interacting with this planet, and what we are challenged by is to understand the agendas of apparently a variety of non-humans. And in your case, you've had firsthand experience with something quite extraordinary. And so what I'm curious about is right now, what do you think the entity that dealt with you in the light and played cat and mouse and then later appeared, not allowing you to see it, paralyzing you, but giving you orders, what do you think the agenda is?
Well, it could be frightening. I've had this feeling it's possible that the agenda that they have may be to do with the prevention of our destruction, of our own self-made destruction. That is one possibility. They may be trying to intervene, but in a frightening sort of a way. These beings definitely mean business. I can tell you that. They mean business. Boy, oh boy, there's no joking around then. It's serious stuff.
And yet, isn't that the metaphor for all of the last decades and millennia? That you had this incredibly sobering exchange with a profound intelligence, and you as a human don't remember anything in detail.
That's right. Isn't that incredible?
It is, and it makes you wonder, what is the agenda? What was imparted to you? And Lee, do you have any sense right now of what could be coming in the next 5 or 6 years or so?
I think I do, yes. I've had this feeling of foreboding about the not-too-distant future. For one thing, I think we're back on the nuclear holocaust doorstep.
So where do you think it could all be headed?
I think it's headed for holocaust unless there is some kind of intervention.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.